It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. From the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines right here on Softy and Dick Without Dick, brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
All right, a couple of quick news and notes. MLB delaying the start of spring training until March the 5th while the lockout continues. The NCAA football, college football playoff will remain at four teams through 2025. And the Sports Business Journal reporting NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is negotiating a fourth extension to remain commissioner of the National Football League. Husky basketball losing last night to USC. They're at UCLA tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off over on 1090 KJR. Jason Hamilton, by the way, will join us coming up tonight at 5:30 on the program from Westwood. All right, with us, and big thanks to John Costakos for joining us in the last hour. That was fun as hell to have him in here. Speaking of fun, looking forward to the Seahawks defense getting back to having some fun. A guy who is, well, we know him as the defensive line coach, but he's now the big boss in charge of the defense. The new brand new defensive coordinator of the Seahawks, Clint Hurt, joining us right now on the radio show. Clint, how are you, man? What's going on?
Man, I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Good to catch you up. Good to hear your voice for the first time in a long time. We appreciate you doing this. And let's just start right there. Talk about, if you can, a little bit, this opportunity that you've got. And for the fans out there that still may not know a lot about Clint Hurt, why is Clint Hurt the right guy for this job at this time right now?
Why am I the right guy? Well, number one is, I would say this, you know, I've been working all my life to have the opportunity to get to this point. You know, that's number one. Two, obviously, I've always known I'm a leader of men, so I've been preparing myself for this opportunity for a long time and learning from a lot of great defensive minds. That's part of the deal. You know, you got to have growth along the way, and obviously you had to earn it because Pete wouldn't have gave me the opportunity if I wasn't ready. So I'm looking forward to it and helping our coaches. We had an outstanding staff and get this thing going so we can get back to playing defense at a level that our fans will be proud about.
You look at this defense a year ago, and overall 11th in scoring is not bad at all, but the yards per game, the third down percentage, the lack of takeaways, I assume all that stuff obviously for Pete and company wasn't good enough. So view from 35,000 feet, Clint, what does this defense need to do in 2022 that they were not doing in 2021 in your mind?
We got to get back to attacking offenses, attacking the quarterback, attack the passing game. You know, that's where your explosive plays come, the points come from in this league, whether it be by rush and coverage, you know, combination obviously of the both. The last couple of years we've been great in the run game, but it's the consistency in the pass rush and obviously the things that make the quarterback have to think and work and figure things out, and challenging routes is where we have to take another couple of steps to continue to get better. A lot of the situational football stuff has been pretty good. You know, in the red zone, third down fell off late in the year, you know, obviously together as a unit. But again, the mentality is to be an attacking group and to challenge the quarterback by being multiple in your looks and coverages and having that make that guy have to figure it out. So those are the areas that we'll get better in and make huge strides in this upcoming offseason going into next year.
Yeah, you talk about being aggressive. What does that mean in your mind? Because when fans hear you say we are going to be more aggressive, the one first, second, third thing they think is, well, he's just going to blitz more. End of story. Jamal Adams, who blitzed 100 times 2 years ago, is going to go back to being that same guy in 2022. Is that what being more aggressive means, or is it more than that?
No, it's way more than that. It's a mentality about how you approach practice and your play temperament and how you get after people. It has nothing to do with blitzing. Whether you could be rushing four and dropping seven guys in coverage, there's a mentality that you play with. And yes, there's an element to when you do bring pressure, that attitude that you bring with it, because that's something the offense always has to be aware of. When are they bringing five or more? And we have to be prepared for it. If you only do it sparingly, then it's not a big deal. And you probably have tells on when it's going to happen. But you want to make sure that you have that threat. you want things to look the same, so the quarterback has to figure it out. You know, because when you are aggressive and then they think something's coming, it makes them speed up their clock to get the ball out when really you aren't bringing pressure at all and you're just dropping four. So, again, it's mentality, it's body language, it's play temperament, and the attitude of the players is a lot of things that go into it. So that doesn't mean we're blitzing 50% of the game. That's not realistic, but we're going to definitely be taking our shots. And, again, be multiple in the looks. You have to challenge the offense. You have to challenge their offensive play caller. You have to challenge the quarterback in order to get that done. And obviously, I know what's funny, everyone's been asking me about this whole thing. We're dropping guys in coverage. I knew it was a big thing to our fans. My wife and I, just not to get off a topic, my wife and I stayed at a local hotel. I'm not going to blow anybody up. And so we ordered room service, and we just got a random tray of like desserts and things like that that came. And there was a nice card in the dessert tray. And I opened up the card and I read, well, actually, I didn't read it. My wife read it. And they were saying, congratulations, coach, on the new promotion. And by the way, it'll be really good if we don't drop Carlos Dunlap in coverage anymore. So I told my wife, I said, well, I know that's how they're feeling right now. So
yeah,
we'll eliminate that.
Well, that letter could have come from me. It did not come from me because I had no idea that you and your wife were at a hotel. But if I did know, I would have certainly had no problem sending over dessert for sure. But Clint Hurt with us, the new Seahawk DC. And yeah, look, man, I mean, I'll be honest with you. That drove me nuts. You know, I'm going back to the last play of the game against the Packers at Lambeau in the playoffs, and I'm seeing Jadeveon Clowney dropping back into pass coverage. Why?
I mean, there's certain things that, you know, in certain defenses, you see it all across the league with teams doing that, you know, and there's times and places for it. But again, I said this yesterday, I'm a defensive lineman by nature, you know, and anybody that's ever seen me would definitely probably know that. I don't want to see big guys going backwards. You know, our job is to knock the hell out of people in the run game and tear off of blocks and play in the backfield and rush the passer. If there's a rare occasion that responsibility pops up, then it does. But you want to put your players, particularly your best guys, in position to go be successful. You know, and obviously, if you're dealing with a Carlos Dunlap or Daryl Taylor, you know, you want those guys going forward. You know, they're gonna have more of an impact on the game doing that. So, and like I said, you know, and that also involves Jamal, putting him in better positions, and Quandre, everybody. You know, that goes with it. So, you know, to answer your question and what everyone's concerns were, you know, naturally, I didn't need to hear to read a note card. I know already exactly what my mentality is with guys on the front.
Well, first of all, we're learning a lot about you. We feel like we know you already from your D-line days, but I guess we've learned that if you want to, you know, have constructive criticism, attach it with a meal, and it lands a little better with Coach. Or, you know, send them over a burger, or maybe a, you know, chicken sandwich or something, or maybe a piece of cake or some ice cream, and you'll be much more apt to have a conversation about it. But Clint Hurt is with us, and let's go back to Jamal, because it's a major topic of conversation. Gave up a lot to get the guy, you know, can't worry about that now. He's here. Got to take advantage of him. What does Jamal Adams do really, really well? What is he elite at, Clint, in your opinion?
Number one is, before I even get into the physical skills, his leadership, his attitude. When we talk about attacking and how you practice and how you approach every day, Jamal is elite in that aspect. This guy is super competitive. He practices his tail off. Really good with the young guys and getting them to understand how to take care of their body, things like that. To me, that always where it starts it off. What kind of person are you dealing with? First-class guy all day long, and he's super competitive. The player, the athlete, outstanding athlete, super aggressive, hyper aggressive guy that's going to be physical in the run game, really instinctual, good on his run fits. And as we all know already, he's an outstanding blitzer. And I just don't judge that off of a guy that can, and whether you're talking about a linebacker or a DB, you know, that's a unique skill set that's hard to find. And he's beaten tight ends. He's beaten offensive linemen 1-on-1. The ability to bend and turn the corner and his just relentless pursuit of the quarterback, I would think you would be foolish if you didn't take advantage of that. You know, and the things that he gets criticized for or has gotten criticized for, you know, is twofold. One, you know, he had to do something to his credit last year that he's really never been asked to do. And I think you got to give a guy a little leeway to grow into that role in what he was asked to do. And he did get better throughout the course of the season with some of the things that we were asking for him to do. And And, you know, he's continued to grow in that aspect. And here's the thing. Jamal wants to be one of the very best. And his work ethic and his commitment to learning new things last season definitely showed that. You know, obviously it hurt to lose him with his injury that put him out. But going forward, there's a lot of things he's really good at. But we know that he has one particular exceptional skill, and that's when he is at or near around the line of scrimmage. He doesn't always have to be blitzing, contrary to popular belief.
Well, here's the rub for me, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Clint Hurt with us, new Seahawk DC. 2020 sets the record, right, for sacks by a DB. But when he doesn't get home, and he blitzed a lot without getting home, opposing passers had a 128.5 passer rating. How do you remedy that?
With cleaning up some of the techniques and things and coverage that we ask him and everyone to do to clean up in greater detail to eliminate some of the windows. You know, there's some challenges and things like that. And again, I talked about that earlier with the things that we're asking guys to do in the coverage aspect of it. We'll get those details cleaned up, and especially for him, you know, where it'll be a lot cleaner. You know, I don't want to say too much and give things away of what we'll be doing, but there's, you know, whether it's man-to-man and some of the zone stuff that we're doing and putting, you know, the matchups and whatnot, it'll be a lot better for him. And also, you know, the pressures and the coverage systems that you use have to have a rhyme or reason to them, so that way quarterbacks can't have the easy tells and know automatically where to go with the ball. That part is a big part of it, too.
Well, you played much more cover two this past year, and I'm wondering if that was simply put to protect your corners and if that's a sign that you need better ones.
You know, this is what I would say. I believe Sidney Jones and DJ Reed did a hell of a job this year, and so did Trey Brown the time that he was in, and obviously we hopefully get him back from his injury sooner rather than later, and he's doing really well. What I would say is that's what they were asked to do, and for what their job entailed and what we asked them to do, they did that at a high level. You know, but obviously that's why I'm talking about the multiplicity that we got to have in the adding in new calls. You know, sometimes those new calls are going to challenge them a little bit more than just being a cloud corner. But for what they were asked to do, they did a really nice job. They really did. They played stuff really well.
Did you see, and you mentioned Trey Brown there, Clint, did Trey or anybody else, honestly, show you enough to be comfortable with them at left corner starting in September of this upcoming season?
No, I think he would. For what we asked for Trey and what he showed us, it was really encouraging and in a bright spot. But obviously, again, you got to continue to play more. It takes more to go and earn your stripes. And I also believe this, to add in competition, it helps everybody, okay, to be able to bring that in, because it's going to make guys continue to grow and ascend their game. So am I excited about Trey going forward? Absolutely. If the opportunity for us to continue to get better is there and for us to do that, I would say yes. And that has nothing to do with Trey. That just means that just overall as a team, we got to try to be the very best we can be.
Yeah. All right. Well, Clint Hurt with us, and there's something I'd like you to do, and I don't have any dessert to send over with the request. So I'm just going to ask you, all right, because I remember when you drafted Jordan Brooks, I remember looking up some numbers thinking, man, Chase Young was the number two pick in the draft, and this guy had 21 TFLs his last year at Ohio State. Jordan Brooks had 20 in his last year at Texas Tech. This is more than just a linebacker. Is it possible that Jordan Brooks, that an answer to your pass rush woes in some ways, could already be on the roster with a Jordan Brooks in a different role next year?
This is what I would say. Jordan is not a NFL 101 pass rushing demon out there on a tackle. I would not say that's his best skill set. If you ask him, he's probably going to say, yeah, I can go out there and go beat that guy. Where Jordan, I think, is going to be one of the very best. I think the guy's got all pro in his future, in my opinion. He is an unbelievable backer, particularly when he's off the ball in the run game, getting downhill, playing on the line of scrimmage. He's an explosive hitter. His burst and close to the ball is very unique. And obviously he has his things that he's going to continue to prove at. And John Glenn and our new guys are obviously going to continue to help with that. But he's got a super, super bright future as an off-the-ball backer.
Yeah, I remember the night you drafted him, a lot of us thought, well, there's your replacement for Bobby Wagner in a couple years. And then KJ ends up taking off, and he ends up playing weak side linebacker for you and did very well last year. Do you honestly project him down the road when he is at his best? Is he a Mike linebacker, or does he stay at will long term in your mind?
Yeah, that right there, I don't know. I know this much. 54 is pretty damn special. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not in a rush to see him go any damn place. Excuse my language. So, Jordan, I think, will be successful wherever you put him at. He's that kind of competitor, but he looked really good at Will. That's what I would say.
Well, you mentioned Bobby there, and I'm with you. You know, third in the NFL in tackles. I'd love to see Bobby stick around for a long time. Does he need to, though, adjust his game a little bit as he gets a bit longer in the tooth as well, or is he still playing the same way that he played 8-9 years ago?
No, I think as you evolve and you get to be an older veteran player, there's certain things that you adjust to, as you know, maybe certain things and how you move and whatnot. Maybe they are changing, maybe they're not, you know. But I would say for him, you know, he's a guy who's obviously got really good instincts and feeling the game. And again, like, he's been playing at a high level, ton of tackles this year, and still an outstanding leader. You definitely see him recognize things faster and faster. Obviously, that comes with playing, and he's played just as much as anybody. So his recognition and communication on things happening, I know the benefit he was to Jordan this year continue to help him the same way KJ's helped out everybody here. KJ needs to get into coaching. He doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, about how good he was. But he definitely is a huge help to Jordan this year, talking about Bobby. So Bobby's still a really talented player, and obviously he's got bright things ahead of him in his future for what he's done in this league and for this organization.
Yeah, well, I'm curious, Coach, kind of what matters to you in the end overall, because the team had good numbers and points allowed, but worst defensively in time of possession per drive and among the worst in yards allowed. Is it for you, in the end, all about points, or do yards allowed concern you as well?
They have to both matter. Obviously, ultimately, number one is points, because, you know, if you keep the score down, you give yourself your greatest chance at winning. But the yards do matter, and the time of possession does matter, because if they're getting yards, they're most likely going to be chewing up clock. If they're chewing up clock, that limits the amount of opportunities your offense has the ball. So if you're going to play complementary football, you got to be able to get as many opportunities by either taking the ball away or cutting down the time of possession of the opponent, which is part of being aggressive and getting the offense behind the chains, so you have the opportunity to do that and get off the field. So that way you can, obviously for us, I mean, you want to get the ball in Russell's hands and the guy DK and Tyler and those guys, you want to get the ball in their hands as much as humanly possible. So, you know, that all coincides. If you're going to play complementary football, you know, it's our responsibility on defense. Be aggressive, get them behind the chains, take the ball away. Those things happen when you're aggressive. You know, offenses make mistakes, get the ball back for the offense, and we roll from there.
What do you need on the roster defensively that you don't have now?
I think, like, answering that question, there is a lot of pieces here, and those guys have to continue to grow and develop. So I want to make sure we understand that we have talented pieces. You know, Darrell Taylor, in essence, was a rookie this past year. His development coming into this upcoming season is going to be vital to our success. I think the kid has all the potential in the world. This is a big year. Alton needs a rebound, you know, coming forward this year. I think Puna's right in line. He's continued to grow his game. Big Monet in the middle, all right, in the run game. With those guys, we got good pieces. You know, continue to find another guy to be devastating, like an edge rusher that can be a game changer. A game wrecker is what we need. Carlos came on really late in the year. We need Carlos to continue to bring that back to us, but you still got to, you know, you want to work that side of it. You know, just really all levels of the defense. I just want to focus on the front guys. We want to continue to bring in pieces to help the guys that we currently have.
Yeah.
We have good players here. I want to make sure everybody understands that. We have good players here. Those players are going to be the reason why we get better and why we go and win. So they have to continue to be bigger, faster, stronger in the offseason to improve individually, and then obviously through the free agency and the draft. I know John and Pete will continue to add stuff that we need, so, and I trust that they'll do that.
You feel like you got full autonomy to run this defense the way you want without any interference?
Absolutely. No question in my mind.
Okay. For those that say, as long as Pete Carroll's here, it's his defense, what do you say to those fans?
He's a head coach. I mean, we need to out. This whole thing is so funny to me. He's the head coach. He is our leader. That's the guy that we're following, obviously, and he's had super success. Why would you not follow and listen to the things that he puts in place for us as an organization, especially in all three phases of the defense? you know, teams are going to go through some rough patches and spots when you're trying to evolve and grow. I just know that they've won a ton of games here for a long time, you know, and to stay in it. So I think we just continue to grow. We're going through that evolution right now. Mm-hmm. He is not a guy who's stuck in his ways like some people may think. He is definitely not that. You know, he's definitely progressive and wanting to move forward. And so I give him that credit. You know, if I didn't feel that way, I'd be crickets right now.
Yeah. Well, let me get two more for you because I'm curious what you said there about the evolution of Pete Carroll, right? You've been with him now for a while. And some folks believe that your hiring is proof positive that Pete Carroll is evolving, that Sean Desai's hiring is proof positive that Pete Carroll is evolving. Can you give us an example of how Pete Carroll is different now than the guy that you first came to work for?
I'll say this. He's consistent in the person that he is, but in terms of football and the X's and O's and with understanding people, he's always looking for another level. You know, another way of looking at things and whatnot. That's where I give him his credit. Like, he's always picking your brain and trying to figure out, you know, how can we make this a part of us? You know, how does this fit into our scheme and grow our football and things like that? Pete has always been that. He's always been that way. And obviously bringing in guys like Sean and bringing in Carl add another element to that stuff. It even helps me because guys come from different systems. Carl was with Nick Saban. You know, you say the greatest college football coach of all time. He's the defensive mind. Carl was with him for 3 years. Why would you not want to sit down and listen and find out the things that he's been taught and he's learned and plucked from that? And the same thing with, you know, with Sean, the similarities there, because Sean and I were with Vic Fangio as well together, but he was with Vic even longer, you know. So what other things did you do after I left and I came here, you know, to continue to grow and put stuff? Like, Pete wants to grab all that information and then now make that a part of who we are. That's the thing that was so exciting about this, is like, listen, this is not my defense. This is our defense. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our defense and really coming around. And again, like I said, you know, giving full autonomy to put this thing together. It's only natural that the head coach is going to be involved, you know, as he should be.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I got music to your ears. Good news for you. Last question right here, I promise. And we'll get you the heck out of here. You mentioned Sean Desai. Comes on as an associate head coach on the defense. You're the defensive coordinator. He's the associate head coach of the defense, but you're calling defense, but Sean's got that title. How does this all come together? How does this work on game day? Talk about the plan between the two of you.
Oh, this is we're going through this stuff right now. You know, I mean, it's he and I are working through all this now, but because of the prior relationship, it's really flowing smoothly. You know, I'm calling the plays, but as I'm calling plays, the person I'm listening to and talking to on the headset, just to get a different perspective, or if he's seeing something, is going to be Sean. You know, and that's and just communicate with me directly throughout the course of the game, and obviously in between series, you know, about what's going on, and you know, as I'm making calls, and maybe there's another answer to go to, or I can bounce something off of him, all right, to get another thought. And obviously, because he's been through this, you know, we've been in the same system together, and obviously, as we put this system together to become our own, you know, he's on the same page with me on what the answers are when we start getting different things from the offense and whatnot. So I'm the play caller, but he's without question. There's no ego in this thing. I'm definitely rellying on him, because I think when you're in a position, a leadership position, you got to count on the guys who you're working with to help you be highly successful with your job and vice versa.
All right, listen, man, just do me a favor. Do the fans a favor. Don't forget, Carlos Dunlap, he's a pass rusher. He's not a cover guy. All right? Don't forget that, pal.
No question about it. I appreciate you.
All right, Clint, thanks, and best of luck to you, man.
Thank you very much. You take care.
You bet. Clint Hurt with us, new Seahawk DC. Wow, lot to go over right there. We'll get to it next on 950 KJR.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Washington Huskies and the Seattle Kraken. Sports Radio 950. KJR.
My wife and I stayed at a local hotel, so we ordered room service, and we just got a random tray of like desserts and things like that that came, and there was a nice card in the dessert tray, and I opened up the card and I read, well, actually I didn't read it, my wife read it, and they were saying, congratulations coach on the new promotion, and by the way, it'll be really good if we don't drop Carlos Dunlap in coverage anymore. I told my wife, I said, well, I know that's how they're feeling right now, so we'll eliminate that.
Yeah, they're aware. Trust me, they are aware of what fans and media are saying. It's impossible, right? I mean, you can insulate yourself in this bubble, right? But there is not a chance, you know, if you've got an app, one app on your phone that's connected to the internet, you're going to see this stuff eventually. So, hey, good on Clint Hurt for recognizing all that. I thought it was interesting. And first of all, loved having him on, number one. Number two, if you missed it, check out the podcast, sportsradiokjr.com. Always free, Jackson. Dick's not here, so because?
Because why would anybody pay for this crap?
Why would you pay for this crap? Although that wasn't crap. That was actually good stuff. So check it out on the podcast page. Anyway, Hugh Millen's going to join us at 5 o'clock coming up tonight and give us his thoughts on what he heard from Clint Hurt. Jason Hamilton, also 5:30. Kevin Harlan joining us at 6 p.m. He's coming off the Super Bowl and set to call the NBA All-Star game on Sunday. So, you know, look, I mean, do you think it's going to be different with this guy? Are you buying what he's selling about being more aggressive and coming after people and not dropping edge rushers like Carlos Dunlap into pass coverage? Or are you one of these people? And we asked him flat out. For the skeptics out there who believe that as long as Pete's here, nothing's going to change. And he said, look, I got full autonomy, right? I mean, obviously he's the head coach and, you know, in the end he can override me or make whatever choice he wants to make. And he should have that power. I've said before, if you don't want Pete Carroll to have that kind of authority, then he shouldn't be your head coach. Because your head coach is supposed to be your best coach. And your best coach should have ultimate authority over everybody to do what he thinks is the right thing. He's making the most money. He's got the most power. If you don't want Pete Carroll to have that authority, then you got to fire him yesterday. It's number one. And then he talked about Jamal Adams. And I asked him, what is he really good at? Well, he's a great blitzer. He's an outstanding blitzer, is what Clint Hurt said. To which I would say, okay, fine. He's an outstanding blitzer. But then why did Pete Carroll allow the guy who just set the defensive back sack record in 2020 to drop his blitz rate by almost 50% the following season? Why was that allowed to happen? So, again, you know, I understand that Pete Carroll fired Ken Norton Jr. Maybe one of the reasons why Pete Carroll fired Ken Norton Jr. because he wasn't blitzing Jamal Adams enough. I don't put that all on Ken Norton. I'm sorry. I just don't. This is a guy who blitzed 51 times in 12 games, 9.8%, 106 times in 13 games the year before, over 18%. So you're literally telling me, and I think, you know, again, I'm not saying Clint's wrong. If you were to ask me, what does he do really well? I would say, okay, well, I'm getting after the quarterback, I guess, is what he does really well. You gave him a fat contract based on his sack record he sent the year before. And now you're telling me that you're going to drop it 50%. So I'd be curious to know why that move was made a year ago and who made that call, because that doesn't make any sense. So what I'm hearing from Clint Hurt is a guy, Jackson, who appears to be looking to go back to more of what we saw from Jamal Adams in 2020, not in 2021.
Yeah, and that'll be very, very helpful. I mean, you guys had, what was it, Lawyer Malloy on from the EQC when they opened the sports book, and I'll always side with a player who played that position when he's talking about what a guy should do. And Lawyer talked about how that guy should be playing in the second level as a linebacker, right? And when I hear that from a former safety, that stands out to me as somebody who's watched Jamal Adams extensively and regardless of, you know, being in the VMAC or not, saying, okay, that skill set way better fits a different position. So if Clint Hurt can figure that out, and we're clearly saying, he said, I think it would be foolish if you didn't take advantage of that and that skill set of pass rushing from Jamal Adams. Well, if you're going to take full advantage of that, just make him a linebacker.
Well, that's what Lawyer Malloy said. And Lawyer Malloy is obviously one of the greatest safeties ever. We've been talking about him playing linebacker for a while, too. But to have a guy like Lawyer Malloy endorse that move is, you know, obviously it carries a lot more weight, for sure. But I don't know if Pete Carroll's ego will allow that to happen.
I agree.
To move the guy to linebacker. And we can talk to Hugh about that when he comes on the air at 5 o'clock. But you know, I asked him about his off-season shopping list, and he obviously respectfully, indirectly disregarded the question and went on to talking about the tools they have right now. He's not going to throw any of his guys under the bus. That's just not the way Pete Carroll or his coaching staff operates. You know, Jordan Brooks, not really knowing yet if he's more of a middle linebacker or a weak side linebacker where he played a year ago. You know, look, I mean, hearing him say yards matter, I kind of wish Dick was here to hear that, to be honest with you.
Please let us replay that for
him.
I
think that that is an important thing. They made that crystal clear when they fired Ken Norton Jr. because they fired a guy who had the 11th best scoring defense in football, who relied on great red zone defense the entire year. That is not sustainable. It's just like when the Mariners have a year where they win 90 plus games, but their run differential is at +3. That's not sustainable, right? You have to get teams off the field. You have to get the ball back. You have to take it away and be great on third down. And they were none of those things. None of them. On defense a year ago. And then watching some of these, you know, schleps come in here, not just this year, but the last couple of years, losing to no name, nobody knows who the hell they are quarterbacks. Mm. Some of them at home, by the way.
Colt McCoy.
It's not acceptable. And so I totally understand why Pete Carroll made the move with Ken Norton Jr. And all the things that Clint was talking about and making such a big deal about the uproar over dropping guys like Dunlap into pass coverage and Clowney against the Packers. I mean, I don't know. What I heard from that guy is that those days are over.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, going out of your way to tell the story about somebody at the hotel sticking a note into your dessert to please stop using Carlos Dunlap in coverage. He's not telling a story like that unless he's all in on going the opposite way. So I would expect those days are over. So 49451, how much confidence do you have in this Seahawks defense moving forward, getting back to their championship ways? Maybe not the LOB days, because that's never going to happen again. But Clint Hurt, you know, are you buying what he's selling at 49451? We'll get some of your thoughts on that. Baseball's delaying the start of spring training until March the 5th. Do you care at all about that? I do. I wonder if you do. And the College Football Playoff Committee announcing today they will remain at four teams at least through 2025. Is that the right move for college football to remain at four? If you were in charge of the world, if you could do anything with the playoff that you want to do, what would you do? And maybe it's keep it at four. 49451, testimonials, and then Hugh Millen coming up 5 o'clock tonight right here on 950 KJ.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They are.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, Dick is out today. Hugh Millen coming up 5 o'clock tonight. Jason Hamilton, 5:30. We'll talk to the legendary Kevin Harlan. Normally on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino, but Kevin obviously was a little busy on his way to the NBA All-Star Game on Sunday. So, I mean, talk about a job as a broadcaster, a week of work as a broadcaster. Super Bowl on Sunday, NBA All-Star Game the following Sunday. So Kevin Harlan will join us coming up at 6 p.m. tonight on the radio program.
You are a dirty dog.
Hugh Millen responding to what we heard from Clint Hurt. Lots of people chiming in. 49451 of the Clint Hurt conversation from last segment. You missed it. Check out the podcast page. What do you got?
But we start with the conversation from the first hour with the legendary poster maker.
I worked at the printer in Seattle that printed all of the Costecos Brothers posters. Such a fun time in my life. Loved every one of them.
So if he worked at the printer, and I love the fact that Texty almost pronounced Costacos the proper way. Costecos, that's not bad. That's not a bad miss at all by him. How many do you think the guy took home with him? I mean, if he's working at the printer, who's printing up the Costacos Brothers posters back in the day, he had to have taken a few home with him, don't you think?
Well, because what did John say? They sold like a million, like yes. At least. So if they're printing up that many, one of each.
The million He said they sold 800,000 of the Jordan posters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They've sold tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of posters. Billions of posters.
That guy has one of each.
Well, they were all over my house. They were all, you know, over my bedroom as a kid. I mean, you had Land of Boz, and then on the right, there was a poster of Heather Locklear, and on the left, there was a picture of, like, a red Ferrari Testarossa. I mean, if you're a kid growing up, you know, in the 80s, I mean, whenever, really, you had a chick, you had a car, and you had your favorite sports hero.
So accurate.
On your wall, right?
I did too, and I grew up in the 90s.
Come on. I mean, you know, back in the 70s, maybe it was Bo Derek, right? Oh. Walking out of the beach in 10.
Mine
whatever.
Was Marissa Miller, a red Lamborghini, and Sean Alexander.
Countach or Diablo?
Countach. Always
Countach.
Countach.
All right, what's next?
The Griffey father and son, one at their locker, lived in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Love their posters.
I told him off the air that he's got to do a thing where he has people send in photos of themselves as kids in their bedroom with his posters on their wall.
That's good.
Honestly, we're talking 40 years ago. I mean, there's that, and you may not even know it, right? If you had any of these posters growing up as a kid, and he mentioned the locker room. The locker room was an old, you know, athletic supply store, not like cups and jocks and stuff, but jerseys and hoodies and hats and things like that. There used to be one in the Bellevue Square Mall, and I would go there just to look at the freaking NFL helmets they had on display. So you probably don't even know that you had a bunch of his posters growing up, man. So really fun having him in. You check the if you missed it, check out the podcast tonight because Jim McMahon also called up and said hello at 3:30. What's next?
I like what I'm hearing from Clint. Okay, now I'm excited for the Seahawks defense future.
You know what's funny about that though, and I love that you're excited. I'm not gonna try to talk you down or poop on your party, rain on your parade. But how many interviews with brand-new defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, head coaches have we done over the years, within weeks of them getting hired, where people say, God, that doesn't sound good at all. I don't like any of that. Really? That's what we're doing? I mean, maybe one down the road, but I'm struggling to think of one. Hell, even Tyrone Willingham had people fired up.
Really?
When he took the Husky job. Are you kidding me? I remember Groz. And I feel bad busting his balls because he's not here, but Groz called the Tyrone Willingham hire a gift from the gods on this radio station. And I will own it, too, because I endorsed him coming back for 2008.
Right.
So I will own that as well. But I'm asking you guys, and maybe that was more about just a look into what his attitude's going to be like, Clint Hurt.
Yeah.
How many coaches do we have on the air where people text in or call up and say, man, I don't know, it was a little bit rough right there. I'm not sure if that's going to work. Can you remember one?
I think, you know, what was funny is you guys had Shane Waldron when he signed on.
Yes.
And that wasn't as much about, you know, what he was saying as much as it just didn't seem like he, you know, he
well, he's 40 years old, right? He's a young guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's 41.
41
actually
yards.
Is what it is. So maybe not having as much experience
doing
things like that. All right, what's next?
No, I want to see proof. This is typical new coach hype. But I like that he didn't answer your question.
Well, which one? Oh, you mean about the what does he need on his offseason shopping list? Look, I get it. He doesn't want to throw anybody here into the bus. Doesn't want to circumvent John Schneider. You know, you throw that out there and maybe you catch a fish, right? You throw it out there. He says, well, clearly you saw us play. We need new corners and we could use some more edge rushers.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Seahawks in 2020? You dipstick? That would have been a hell of an answer. All right, what's next?
Sounds like getting Adams back to his younger self with rushing the passer instead of exposing his poor coverage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if he's talking about him being an outstanding blitzer, which I believe is the verbiage he used to describe Jamal Adams, then, yeah, I mean, that's a clear sign that he's going to get back to what he was like in 2020, not 2021. And now if they don't blitz him, if they use the same amount of blitzes with Jamal in 2022 that they did this last year, we can go back to that and say, well, I mean, why aren't you sending him? You came on the show and said he was outstanding, so what are you doing? What's next?
Adams is too small to be a full-time linebacker. He can't stay healthy as a safety, let alone linebacker.
Well, the health part I agree with. I do think, though, that there is potential for a hybrid position, and you're seeing a lot more of that now in the NFL. You know, look, man, guys are bigger, right? Quarterbacks are bigger. Tight ends are bigger. Hell, wide receivers are bigger. DK Metcalf is, what, 6'5", 235 pounds?
Yeah.
Back in the day, that dude would have been a tight end in the NFL, not a wide receiver. Hell, he could have been a left tackle back in the day. So I think that there's room for a little bit of experimentation.
Creativity.
If you will. Creativity, a hybrid role for a guy like that. Obviously, he's never not going to cover somebody. Obviously, he will be used as a cover safety at some point down the road. But I do think that his best ability is to play within 3 or 4 or 5 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He's a box safety. That's what he is. He's not a free safety. He's not Earl Thomas. He's also not Cam Chancellor either. So figure it out.
As long as he doesn't drop defensive ends into coverage, I'm going to like Kurt's defense.
That's a low bar right there, boy. That's a low bar. As long as you're not taking a guy like Carlos Dunlap, who was one of the better edge rushers the NFL has seen in the last maybe 10 years or so. As long as you're not using him as a cornerback, then you're doing the right thing. Well, I don't think you'll see that much anymore. And you may see it every now and then, obviously, but clearly he is just as irritated as we are with that. And I love the story he told. I love the fact that he's making a big deal out of it, and it shows for sure that he's hearing what people are saying. Now we get the fun part is we get to watch and see how much it actually happens.
Can we find the hotel, whoever that was at the hotel, who gave them whatever and wrote on there, don't drop it. I would like to hand that person just some sort of award, some sort of prize, because that is an MVP move.
Well, the problem with it is that the first time we see an edge rusher drop back into pass coverage, people are going to be on Twitter going, what the hell? You said those days were over.
That guy is going to be pissed.
I mean, it's going to take one time for someone to flip out and remind him of what he said. All right, 454. Hugh Millen is going to join us coming up next segment. We'll get Hugh's take on everything we heard from Clint Hurt coming up on 950 KJR.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.